Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. Father God, thank you so much for your anointing this morning. Thank you that your will is going to be done in this service. Father God, that we're going to leave here changed people, excited people, Lord, and serious about our walk with you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So this is God talking to the children of Israel and giving them some instruction, okay? So what in the world does that have to do with the price of tea in China? What does that have to do with me? I'm not a Hebrew. I'm not a Jew. Well, see, we have been grafted into that family. Okay? We are God's children. Does that make sense this morning? If you've accepted Jesus Christ, and I hope you have. I really, really hope you have. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we have been grafted into God's family. Okay? We were that little wild olive shoot. Okay, that's been grafted into the family. So you know what? I don't know what kind of week you're having. I don't know what's going on in your world, but I will tell you this. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, it's going better than you can imagine. You're doing okay. Amen? Can I get a witness? And now, Israel, are now children of God, and now Victory Life Church, and now Christian people, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Oh, is that it? Man, that is a huge thing right there. Okay, that is a huge thing. But see, this is what God wants from his people. So, long story short, God wants his people to be sold out and devoted to him. Okay, that's what he wants out of us. And just like John the Baptist, who said, it's got to be more of God and less of me. That's the road that we're on, guys, okay? Each and every day, I want to be more like God and less like Paulie. More like God and less like myself. Amen? And maybe we don't even see it like that. Maybe we don't even feel like that. But that's the desire that we need to have. Amen? So anyways, moving forward. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Sometimes we don't like to hear stuff like that, you know? God requires something of me. Well, he does. He does. Okay? Matter of fact, look on your monitor, Exodus 20 in verse 2. Let's check this out real fast. Exodus 20 in verse 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Okay? That should mean something to us, guys. All right? Let me read that again. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Okay, so that's all of us. Okay, Egypt represents the world, or the world system. We were all part of that at one time. Okay, but we're not that same person anymore. Does that make sense this morning? We were once slaves to sin. But you know what? We don't have to give in to sin anymore. Back in the old day, we did exactly what the old boss wanted us to do. You know, we served a different master. I'm trying to paint a picture here real fast, man, of how blessed we are. So when we see where God says, hey, you know what? I want you to do something for me, okay? And in reality, when he says, do it for me, it's for our own good. You know what I mean? But see, look real fast that, you know, think about this, that you were in bondage. You were in bondage. You were a dead man walking. You were on your way to hell, okay? You were spiritually dead. And that's all of us, okay? But guess what? God brought us out of that land of Egypt. God delivered us from that slavery and that bondage. So that's a big, big thing. I don't have to give in to that sin anymore. My sins have been forgiven, and because of Jesus Christ, because of the Holy Spirit, I can say no to that sin. Even that sin that's always right there at the back of my mind. That sin that I'm still struggling with, okay? That same power that raised Christ from the dead, that same power that saved my soul, you know, gives me the strength, amen? Gives me the strength to say, know what? I'm not doing that anymore. We better move forward. But here we go. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. That is a beautiful thing right there. And we don't need to lose that fact, okay? Now, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Huh? That's what God wants out of us. He doesn't want us to be worshiping idols. He doesn't want us to share our affection with some fake deity, okay? And maybe we're not going to do that. Maybe, probably not. But we build idols all the time. We put lowercase gods in our life all the time, you know? And they're not necessarily a bad thing. Like, your family can be an idol. Your mate can be an idol. These are things that I have made idols in my own life in the past, okay? It's not like your family's a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing, but that's a blessing from the Lord. And God says, listen, nothing can come before my relationship with you. I need to be number one in your life. Anyways, let's move forward. But I just want you guys to understand that we're blessed. I mean, we are really, really blessed. We are saved people. I know some of us have had some hard lives, some hard years, and sometimes it seems like it's getting harder and worser and scarier and all that stuff. But guys, you're blessed. Okay, moving forward. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? And he does require something of us, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways. That's another thing, man. Sometimes we don't like to hear that, hey, I got some requirements of you. There's some things that I would like for you to do. Sometimes we don't like to hear that. But also, sometimes in church circles, we don't like to hear about the fact that God expects for his people to have some reverence for him. Okay? And that's what that means, some real reverence and respect. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? That's where we got to start with our relationship with the Lord. Okay? So here's the deal. We really got to come to the place where, well, I'll say it like this. We got to come to the place where we realize how much God despises sin, how much he hates sin, and how much he does not want his children to mess around with sin. Okay? So we need to have that reverence for the Lord. Easiest way I can put it is, I knew my daddy loved me. I knew he loved me. You know, I never had to doubt that. I knew he loved me. But also, I had to have some respect, and I mean real respect, some reverence for what he would tell me to do. Because when he was telling me to do something, it was for my own good. Now, back in the day, when I was a little one, I didn't quite see it that way. You know? But when he would say, do something, it's because he wanted what was best for me. He wanted to keep me out of trouble and so on and so forth. You get what I'm saying, right? Okay, now I had to have some reverence, or I can say I had to have some fear for some consequences that would happen if I decided to cross that line. Does that make sense? Okay, so here we go. We belong to the Most High God. He's brought us out of Egypt. Okay, we're not our own. We've been bought at a price. We are saved people. And God says, looky here, Dwayne, there's some things I want out of you. Okay, and that's a good thing. Amen. Let me read Hebrews 12 right there on your monitor, Hebrews 12, verse 6. This is us. This is for Christians this morning. If you're not a Christian, get saved today. Right now, get saved. Come on up here. This is cool. We'll stop. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. All right, I need to have some reverence for the Most High God, okay? I need to have some fear for those consequences that are waiting for me that are bound up in any actions I take. There's consequences with every single action we're going to take, right? You guys know that. Sometimes there's good consequences. Sometimes there's bad consequences. And God says, he makes it very clear, hey, you're going to reap what you sow. And he says, my babies, my children, my little ones, there's going to be consequences when you decide that you can go above or around my commandments. Okay, so think about that. The Ten Commandments ain't there to hurt you. They're not there to steal your fun, right? They're there for our own good. All right, so anyways, Hebrews 12 and verse 6. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So, bottom line, Brother Tanner, we're all getting it. You know, we're all going to get that correction, but we're going to get it because he loves us. So God says, here's the deal. Why don't you keep some healthy reverence for who I am, okay, and walk in obedience to what I ask you to do, what I expect you to do, and it's going to keep you out of a lot of trouble. You know, to know that there was going to be some consequences to my actions, you know, dealing with my father, that helped me stay on that straight and narrow, you know? Not perfectly, but I knew if I crossed that line, there was going to be some consequences for my own good. Can I get a witness? All right. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways? See, that's what I'm talking about. Staying on that straight and narrow, following the word of God, taking the Big Ten and saying, I'm doing this. You know what I mean? Because I got some reverence for God. Okay? And that's the beginning of it, you know? I don't want to go through those painful consequences. But see, the more I walk in obedience to the Lord, and this is true, the more I walk in obedience to the Lord and I realize, hey, he's a good God. He's a good God. Okay? He is good. The more I walk in obedience to him, okay, the more I'm going to love him. The more I'm going to love him, the more I'm not going to have to fear those consequences so much. I hope I'm making sense here. But the more I love him, the more I'm not going to have to fear those consequences so much, because I want to be obedient to God. Those consequences are still there. If I go around, I do. It's like if you run a red light, man. There's consequences to that, right? Matter of fact, man, little Gracie, Wednesday night, I was running late. There's a news flash for you, right? Right? Anywho, my AC was messed up, and I was out there in the mud, and I was running late. And so I run a red light. You know, not like run a red light, but it changes as before I go through it. And Gracie and Rachel, they were behind me. And, you know, I didn't mean to run the red light. It just kind of happened, man. You know, but see, when you decide to break man's laws, there's consequences to that. And it's not because they're like, hey, we want to mess you up. We want to make sure that you don't get to where you want to go. It's not like that. They're set up for a good reason, so we don't get hurt, so we don't run over people. You know, you see what I'm saying? So God, when he says do something, he's not trying to steal your fun. He's trying to keep us safe. Amen? It's a true story. Anyways, to the running the red light thing, I apologize. And Gracie hasn't let me live it. Gracie hasn't let that go yet because she saw it. And she told me, she says, Dad, she says, Dad, I had to write in my diary something. I was like, oh, really? Really? What'd you write in your diary? What's going on? Yeah. And she's like, I had to write in my diary that you ran the red light. I was like, well, you don't have to put that in the diary, baby. And it's, you know. Anyways, moving forward. Yeah, now it's written. It's there. You can't take that back. Well, yeah, she's always got that. Hebrews 12 and verse 6, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son who he receives. Okay, that's the program we're on, man. We're going to go through some correction from that great shepherd, but it's because he loves us. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. God wants us to love him, okay? God wants us to love him, and we got oodles. All God's people said oodles. Oodles. Like noodles, but take off the end. Oodles. We all have oodles of reasons to love our God. You know what I mean? Let's go back to that little verse, man. He took me out of Egypt. He didn't have to, but he did. He wasn't going to let me go. He picked me out. Okay, so God loves me, and he loves me. He loves me. Well, how much? Well, how much does God love you? Well, I'm glad you asked. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Look right here. This is what we need to be doing right here, guys. I have been crucified with Christ. This is the Apostle Paul. I have been crucified with Christ. So Jesus Christ died on that cross, and he paid for my sins. He paid my sin debt. So when I accept Jesus Christ, I become a new creation in Christ. I'm not that old. I'm not that same person anymore. So I need to be putting some of those old behaviors aside, right? Some of those things that aren't productive. But I'm a new person. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Okay, I'm a new person. It's just like when Jesus said, you got to be born again. It's not about where you were born or what family you're part of or how much money you got in the bank or what kind of job you got. It's not about how cool you are. It's none of that stuff, man. You have to be born again. You have to come to the place where you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You got to realize, I need a Savior. Okay. Anyways, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So yeah, I'm still in the flesh, church. I'm still in the flesh. I'm still here. I'm still walking among you. Okay? But see, here's the deal. I'm not that same person I was 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 hours ago. I'm a new creation. Okay? Now, this is what I really wanted to get at right here. We're talking about God's love. Because God loved me first. Okay? He didn't have to. Some of us ain't that lovable, right? I can point some of y'all out that I don't even like that. No, I'm playing. I'm playing. No, listen. We are loved by God. And I'm sorry about that. I was just being silly. In the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Listen. Who loved me and gave himself for me. So let me ask you again. Or you ask me again. How loved are we by God? How loved are we by God? Look. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay? Somebody had to pay for our sins. Okay? And if you don't have Jesus, if you don't have Jesus, you're going to have to pay for him yourself. And that's going to take a whole long time. That's going to take an eternity. Okay? You're going to have to pay for your own sins. But if you belong to Jesus Christ, if you've been washed in that blood, you will never, ever, ever, ever know what one minute millisecond of hang of hell. You'll never know what hell feels like. We will never know what that feels like. Okay? So put that over here in the category of why I'm so blessed. Well, I don't feel like I'm that blessed, man. I'm not making as much money as my neighbor or whatever. You know, whatever, dude. Look, you're blessed, man. You are blessed bigger than you can even understand it. So when God says, hey, I require something from you, okay, then we need to think about that a little bit, right? And see, the big problem with I'll step out on them. The big problem in my life a lot of the time is I lose that reverence for the Most High God. I'll put that on the back burner. Because, you know, I'm a New Testament Christian. I'm a church-age Christian, and I love that grace. And there's nothing like that grace. You know what I mean? But we can't lose that reverence for the Lord, that respect for the Lord, for what he's done for us. So we need to have that fear. Let me just say it like that. We need to have that fear of those consequences. When God says, don't do this, we need to say, well, I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the next slide. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him? He wants us to love him, and we know that he loves us. Okay? To love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And that's a tall order right there, isn't it? To be totally devoted to our Lord, to let everything go through that grid. You know, is this a God-pleasing thing for me to do? Is this going to help my relationship with the Lord if I do this? Or is this going to hinder my relationship with the Lord? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I've known people that, I've been that person, you know, at certain jobs, man, when I was a young fella. Certain jobs, my heart wasn't in it, and you could tell. You know what I mean? I halfway did it. You know, and that's not no way to be, all right? And that's the exact opposite of what God wants from us. You know why we can be like that in a job place? Because we don't have any respect. You know what I mean? And God says, hey, you know what? You better respect me. You need to respect me. You need to have some reverence for me. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So God's looking for a devoted bunch of people, okay? A devoted bunch of people. That sold out person. I got some buddies that they did their 20 in the military, and when I found out that one of them was getting out, I was like, well, you know, what's the deal with you getting out? It's like, man, I almost didn't pull my 20, man. Because as these young kids were coming in, they didn't have that same respect or that same work ethic. And they didn't want to pull their load and stuff. The thing I'm trying to say is, God's looking for people that are wholehearted, devoted into our relationship with Him. You know what I mean? And not just buying time, not just killing time till quitting time. You know, sometimes we lose that reverence. We can't lose that reverence. It's just that important. And to keep the commitment, this is verse 13. So God's looking for some people that are sold out to Him. And to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. That's the point I want to bring out right now. And to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. So yeah, God requires some things of us. God wants us to do some things. God wants us to be obedient. God wants us to be sold out to Him. Okay? But see, here's the kicker. Here's the big deal, okay? It's for your own good. It's for your own good. Sometimes we might not think it. Listen, God don't lie. All right? We can stand on that word right there. Okay? And God says, I'm doing this for your own good. I want you to be obedient to me for your own good. Psalm 119 and verse 97. Let's look what the beautiful psalmist says. Oh, how I love your law. Oh, how I love your word. Do you feel like that? I do. I love the Bible. I really, really love the Bible. But sometimes I don't like to obey the Bible. Even though I know it's what's right, even though I know it's what I'm supposed to do, sometimes my old fleshly nature, I want to do what I want to do. Okay? Well, then I'm back to those consequences things, and I've done lost the fear and the reverence of the Lord. So I'm about to learn myself a lesson. Amen? Okay. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. That's pretty cool, man. Because I do, like I said, I do love the Bible. I do love God's word. But I got to be honest with you, I don't meditate on it all day long. But see, that's something to shoot for, right? That every decision I make, every single thing I think about is going through that grid. Will this give God glory? Well, how am I going to get myself to that place? By staying in His word. Okay? I'm going to stay in His word. First of all, I got reverence for Him. I have reverence for Him. I have respect for Him. And He wants me to be in His word. And He wants me to be obedient to His word. So I'm going to stay in His word. The more I stay in His word, the more I'm just going to love Him. I'm going to love Him and I'm going to want to obey Him. Not just because I want to stay away from those painful consequences. Just because He is so good to me. He took me out of Egypt. He saved my soul. He delivered me. He's so good to me. Amen. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Hey, does your day go better, though? The more time you spend in the Word and thinking about the Word of God? I'm not saying you'll have less problems. I'm not saying you'll have less problems that will arise. You know, but the more you stay in His Word, the more you can just move through those problems, man. You know, I used to make sure that I was prayed up on my way to work when I had this crazy day job. Okay. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. How sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey in my mouth. That's Psalms 119, verse 103. Do we think about God's word like that? How wonderful it is? That's what we need to shoot for, right? Okay. But here's a trick. I mean, here's the truth. I'll say it like that. Here's the truth. The more time I spend in the Word, the more I'm going to love it. The more I'm going to love it. The more I'm going to realize, man, that God's trying. He's trying to help me out. He's trying to keep me out of trouble. He's trying to make my to bless me. He's trying to bless me. Amen. How sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey in my mouth. Here's a good one. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. So let's go back up to Deuteronomy 10 and verse 13 when it says, I'm giving you these commandments. I'm giving you these for your own good. Okay? That is a true statement. Okay? No one's trying to steal your joy. No one's trying to steal your fun. Look, Psalm 119 verse 105. Your word, your commandments, your laws, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So picture the old pilgrim walking on the cliff, man. Everybody, close your eyes. Picture who you are. It's a couple thousand years ago, and here you are. You're walking on a cliff. You got to get to this city, and you're stuck traveling at nighttime. And you got a rock wall beside you, and then you have certain death on this side. Okay, and it's pitch black. It's pitch dark. Okay, that's scary stuff, right? That's really, really scary. Okay, but if you have a lamp, if you have a torch, if you have a candle, oh, you got a leg up. Okay, I can see right in front of me. Okay, well, see, that's God's word, man. That's what I'm trying to say. It's for our own good. When God says, do this, he's saying, don't hurt yourself. And when you say, I'm going to do it, you're saying, you know what? I'm going to hurt myself because I don't have that reverence. I don't have that respect. So I think I'm the one guy that God's going to be cool with me doing this. I think that God understands my situation. He does. He completely understands our situation. But that's why he tries to drive the point home to us. Hey, you're going to reap what you sow. What's done in darkness is going to be exposed in the light. You know, he says that not because he's a jerk, because he ain't. He says it because he's like, you do this action, there's going to be those consequences are going to be right there bound up in it. And it's not like he's waiting with a lightning bolt machine gun, you know, go ahead, do it, boy. Do it. It ain't like that. You cross that line, those consequences are bound up in those actions you decided to take. Amen? All right, tell the truth. Shame the devil. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word keeps me out of trouble, man. His commandments keep me out of trouble. Okay, moving forward. Let's go back to 13. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 13. And to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Look at your neighbor and say, it's for our own good. Verse 14, this is on your next slide. Verse 14, behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Okay, so when we see behold in the Bible, what do you think that means? It means behold, man. It means, hey, pay attention to this. It means, hey, check this out. Check this out. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. What in the world does that mean? God's trying to make a point, okay? And we're all smart enough to understand it. Here's the deal. God owns all this. God made all this. This is all his creation. Okay, so we got the heavens. Those are his. Talking about the stars, the moon, the sun, the pretty little fallen stars. That's his, okay? That's his property. He snapped his fingers. He spoke the words, and there it was. Okay, the earth and everything in it, that's his. It's all his, man. He made it. His rules. He made it, okay? But also the heavens of heavens, okay? Somewhere on the other side of somewhere, okay, somewhere is God's throne, okay? That's his too. And guess what? God's will is done over there, all right? And God says, you know what? Why don't you pray? Why don't you see what you can do about my will being done right here, all right? On earth as it is in heaven, okay? So anyways, that's a whole other sermon. But check this out. It's all God's, right? He made it all. He's sovereign. He's in control. And he says, you know what? I could have made anything. I could have made anything. I could have made anybody. And I could have made them my babies. You know what I mean? But I chose you, all right? And I gave you free will so you could love me, okay? I didn't want to make a bunch of robots. He could have done that. He could have done anything he wanted to do. But he made us, and he gave us free will. And he says, hey, you know what? I took you out of Egypt. I took you out of the world, all right? And I saved your soul. Okay, so yeah, I want you to do some things for me, but it's for your own good, all right? And the more we fall in love with him, the more we're going to fall in love with him. Now, that's some deep stuff, right? Anyway. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the earth, belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Verse 15. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you, me, I didn't read that right. Okay. Okay, so here's the deal. God could have picked anybody out. Okay? He gave Adam and Eve the deal. You know, here you go. I'm going to have a whole world of people that love me. He knew they were going to mess it up. Okay? Sin enters the world. Then he says, Noah. Hey, Noah. Hey, you know, we went through the big flood and all that. Noah, why don't you do this thing, man? And I'm going to have a whole world of people that love me. They love me because they love me. They're going to have reverence for me, and they're going to love me because they love me. And God knew Noah wasn't going to do it. So that falls apart. Okay? Then God says, this is my nation. This is my people. Okay? I'm going to have a nation of folks, and they're going to be my babies. And you know what? Why don't you respect me? Why don't you love me? Okay? Look at what I did for you in Egypt with all these plagues and everything and all this stuff. Respect me. Love me. Be obedient to me. It's for your own good. And so here we are. We've been handpicked by God. All right? You've been handpicked by God. You see what I'm saying? It's a big deal. And we should have some thanksgiving wrapped up in that, to where I'm going to be obedient to God even when I don't want to. And I'm going to get deeper in my walk. Amen. Tell the truth, right? All right. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you, me, this day. So look, above all people, all creation, God said, you're mine. Brother Travis, you're mine. Sister Rachel, you're mine. He picked you out. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But God being rich in mercy, thank God for his mercy, right? But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, isn't that cool? His mercy, we get his mercy because he loves us. Mercy is us not getting what we deserve. You know what I mean? Not getting what we deserve. Talking about how much we are loved by God. But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. You ever think about that? Before Jesus Christ, or before you accepted Jesus Christ, you were spiritually dead. You were on your way to hell. See how much he loves you? Somebody had to pay for that. Jesus paid for that. He was the only one that could pay for all of our sins. And he did it. Amen. Tell the truth. But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. We're alive because of what Jesus Christ did for us. We have a reason to rejoice, but also we have a reason to be obedient to him. So when God says, I'm looking for a bunch of folks, man, you know, I'm looking for a group of folks that are sold out and devoted to me, that they don't care what the world thinks about them, they don't care what people are going to say about them on the Facebooks. You know what I mean? But God's looking for a bunch of folks that are devoted to him, that want to be obedient to him. Can I get a witness? All right, tell the truth. Shame the devil. Let's go to, no, it's right here. Deuteronomy 10, verse 16. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart. That's an interesting picture. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. Are we ever stubborn? I'm stubborn. I mean, I'm not stubborn, but when it comes to God's word, you know, sometimes I'm like, no, I'm going to do what Paul wants to do this time. And it never works out good. And that shouldn't be a surprise to us. God says, you do this, you're going to have to reap the consequences of this. All right? And he's saying, don't do it for our own good, but sometimes we do it because we're stubborn, we're prideful, we think we're that one cat that can go get away with it. Right? Okay. But God says, look here. And God's talking to the Israelite folks, man. And okay, in this covenant relationship, the males of the Israelites, they had to circumcise their foreskin. They had to be circumcised to show that they were different than the rest of the world, that they belonged to Jehovah God, that they were in a covenant relationship with him. Okay, so God's making this point. Look, let's put aside the outward conformity thing for a minute, because I want to talk about your heart, okay? I want to talk about your heart. Okay, you can say all kinds of fancy things in church, but your heart might be far away from me. Okay? God is looking at our heart, and he wants us to be sold out to him. Not just saying the right things in front of people. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm with my Christian friends right now, so I'm going to say amen and bless the Lord after I say everything. And when I'm around these people, I'm going to shoot bottle rockets off at kittens or whatever. Nope, nope, nope. Good Lord. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. That's what God wants. God wants us to stop being so stinking selfish and stubborn all the time. You know what I mean? Be that sold out person. Well, how am I going to be sold out? Okay, I'm going to tell you what. Step number one, you better get back to that place of reverence and understand, well, you know what? If I cross this line, I'm going to have to deal with some junk. I'm going to deal with some painful junk. Okay? So get back to that beginning, man, that foundation. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Got to have that, man. Okay? Walk in obedience to him, and guess what? We're gonna end up thinking, man, you know what? There's something about this here. He's not trying to hurt me. He's not trying to steal my joy. He's doing this because he loves me. You know what? The more time we spend with God, the more we fall in love with God, the more we're gonna want to obey God, and the more we're gonna walk in his path, man. Does it make sense? All right. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. That sounds kind of good, right? I want to have a change of heart, you know. I want to have a change. I don't want to be this selfish, spoiled, rotten Christian that expects everything my way or I'm going to pitch a fit and scream, you know. But I want to be someone that truly loves and follows God and that I'm allowing him to do that process in me, changing me to be more like him a little bit each and every day, right? Like what we said at the beginning of the sermon, more of God, less of me. That's what we're shooting for, okay? Sometimes we're just stagnant, man. We're totally content with where we're at in our relationship with the Lord. That's not a good place to be. Some of us have been baby Christians forever and ever and ever. Well, God's like, you know what? Let's grow in relationship, all right? I have need of you. I want to use you. And plus, I want you to enjoy this part of your life, man. I want you to have an excitement where you're at. I want you to enjoy me. Amen. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. I'm going to wrap it up with this right here. We got the red letter coming up. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Is that true? Yeah, it's totally true, man. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay, so you can take blessed and you can say happy because it translates like that, you know. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Happy is the person, blessed is the person that understands everything else is a waste of time. Everything else is going to lead to a dead end, okay? Blessed is that person that realizes, man, I got to put God number one. I got to go deeper in my walk with him because you know what? This is where you realize that this is what joy is, all right? This is what we're here for. This is, you know, some of us, we go our whole lives, man, and we're like, we feel so hollow. Even as Christian folks, man, we feel so hollow because we're chasing after the created things. We're chasing after the money or the house or whatever. And then when you get it, and it's okay, you work hard, get that stuff, man. That's cool. That's awesome. We need to do that. We need to be productive. Okay? But those things are never going to satisfy you. Once you get that, you'll have some joy for a while. But then there's something else you got to add on, something else you got to do. And you can do that your whole life, man, and still never fill that place up, even as Christian people. So God tells us right here, he gives us this little sneak peek. And you want to have joy? You want to be happy in this life, even whether you have these things or you don't have these things. Okay, you want to have peace and joy and be filled up with me. If you're behind bars or free, you know, whatever you're going through. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Some of us are never satisfied, man, you know. And we keep going and going and going and going. And I'm not saying don't try and acquire nice things or whatever. Sure, do that. That's great. Let me have some of that stuff. Work hard. Never mind. But see, here's the dealio, man. You're never going to be satisfied until you hunger and thirst for God. Because that's what we're made for. That's what we're made for. So when God says, don't do this. Are you going to hurt yourself? And when you think about that, he's doing that because he loves me. Anyways, I've talked enough about this. But let's remember that, guys, that if you want to be satisfied, chase after God, not after the creations, not after the things, not after the nice things, man. Okay? Chase after God. Hunger and thirst for him. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for giving us all a genuine desire, Lord, a hunger to chase after you, Lord, to be solely devoted to you. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.
God bless you.